Rishus, Avi Meiri, Chami Meiri, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yaakov Binnenfeld, and everybody that went out of their way to come this evening for this very momentous occasion. Today's daf is Brachas Daf Samach Dalet, and we have four lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis, Pasach Rabbi Eliezer B'noisha Rabbi Yosei Aglili B'chvoy Dachsanya. And I think it's very appropriate, the opening lines of this evening's daf, how Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosei Aglili, when he got up to speak, so he was Poiseach B'chvoy Dachsanya, which is of course what we do. So I just wanted to begin myself, and really the Bali Achsanya of tonight's evening, more than anybody else, are Aryeh Gelbard and Shui Brick. I know how much time and effort and energy you both put into making this happen. And I just want to tell you how much it means to myself personally and really to the entire Chabura. It's a tremendous chizik. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful naimid, and the schuz alder beistein, and we really, really appreciate it. I also want to give a special thank you to Rabbi Binnenfeld, who played a role behind the scenes in helping orchestrate tonight's event, and really plays a tremendous role in everything that happens with the daf. So whether he's... You know, anyone who listens to the shir often, you know, certainly over the years knows that Rabbi Binnenfeld's a big part of the Chabura, but what they don't know is how often I speak to Rabbi Binnenfeld and plagiarize some of his Torah. I say over things he tells me in my name or in the Meshech Chochma's name, but really, it's I appreciate everything you do for the Chabura. It's a tremendous chizik. Of course, I want to thank Rabbinim Naiman and Glad Al Akart for hosting such a beautiful event and going above and beyond and making this happen. I also want to thank my good friend Yontif Gross, Lipa Gross, Leo Gross from Hagoffen Wines, 4123 13th Avenue. he's been a proud sponsor of our Chabura, and he's made a lot of our Chabura members drunk over the years. So for that, we're eternally grateful. There are other sponsors that I'd like to mention as well, but Aryeh said we'll talk about that later in the event. So really, kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim, we really appreciate it. And on that note, this evening's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema from Mordechai Chaim ben Esther. Zok de Gemara, posak Rab Eliezer, benoit Rab Yosei Aglili b'chvay dachsanya v'dorash, v'yivorech Hashem es oyved edoim hagiti, bavur aroin ho elokim. The posak says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu benched the house of oyved edoim hagiti. Why? Because he had the Aron in his house. The rest of the story is actually something that we spoke about a few times, but most recently in Masechtas Brachos, the context is the Plishtim, the Philistines, had taken the Aron into captivity, and they wanted to give it back. And it was sent to the house of Oved Edom Hagiti. David HaMelech was afraid to take it, so he said, let it stay better by Oved. And then he heard that Oved had tremendous bracha for hosting the Aron. And then David felt, well, if there's so much bracha associated with being the balachsanya for the Aron, I might as well have it for myself. So this pasuk discusses the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Oyveit Edoi Magiti Bavur Aroino Elikim because of the fact that he housed the Aron. Said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yisrael Yosei Aglili, V'aloi Dvarim Kal V'chaymer, L'churi you can make a Kal V'chaymer. Ma Aron Shloi Achav Ashasa, Elikibet V'ribet. What did the Aron do? It didn't eat, it didn't drink. So from a Hachnasas Archim standpoint, there really wasn't that much one would have to do if he's housing the Aron. What did he have to do? Yes, you have to clean it a little bit. Still, kach, oyved edemagiti got so much bracha, hamoreach talmud chacham besoich besoi, umachiloi, umashkeyu, umahaneu, minachasav alachas kama v'kama. Can you imagine the reward that somebody's going to get if he houses a talmud chacham that requires not just making sure that he's clean, but you have to feed him and you have to give him to drink. So certainly, alachas kama v'kama, you can imagine what kind of bracha there would be. Says the word, mayhi bracha shebercha. What was the bracha that Oved Edom Hagiti got? Omrav Yudubar Zvido, zu chamois u'shmoina kaloisah. His bracha was that the shviger and the eight shneers, meaning Oved's wife and Oved's ed sons, all had children in this short period of time. How many children? Sheyoldu shisha shisha v'keres echad. They each had six children. So Oyved's wife gave birth to 6 children, and each one of Oyved's sons, meaning the daughters-in-law, also gave birth to 6 children. How do you know that, Shenema? Because the Pasuk says, Pe'ulsai hashmini ki vercho elokin. And then the Pasuk continues, Kol elav ibnei Oyved Edoim, heima uvneim v'acheim ishchayel, shishim ushnayim ba'oyved Edoim. That Oyved had 62 children. Now, it's not 62 children. It's 62 children and grandchildren. The point is, if you would take his 8 sons that he had, each one of his 8 sons had 6 children. He himself had another 6 children. If you do the math, what you end up with is 62 children. Says the Gemara, Amar Abin Halevi. Anyone that tries to push the envelope a little bit, meaning he wants to be matzliach, and it doesn't seem to be going so well, but he feels that he wants to push it. He wants to try to force the issue. So said Rab Abin Halevi, if somebody tries to do that, it's not going to work out. Meaning the time is going to fight back. And if it's not the right time for him to be successful, he won't be successful. However, if somebody, to the contrary, he defers to the moment, he recognizes that, you know, I'm not going to push it, the time is going to wait for him, meaning when it's the appropriate time for him to have bracha, he's going to have bracha. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? From a classic Gemara, something we talk about all the time. Rabbi Yosef Sinai, v'rava oikir harim. Rabbi Yosef was a Sinai, and Rabbah was an Aikaharim, you think? So what's a Sinai? A Sinai is someone that's a bucky. He knows so much. An Aikaharim is a super lamdan. Says the Gemara, it was time to appoint the Rosh Yeshiva. And there was a big Shiloh. Who do you appoint? Do you appoint the Sinai, Rabbi Yosef, the big bucky? Or do you appoint the big lamdan? And they couldn't figure out what to do. So they decided they're going to send the Shiloh to Eretz Yisrael. Shalchu l'hasam, they sent it to Eretz Yisrael. Sinai v'Aikaharim, ezemem koidim. Shalchu, they sent back a very straightforward answer. Sinai koidim, shahakol tzrichim l'marichitai. So all the raid that we have on Sinai and Aikaharim, that's after this telegram. But in real time, it was a short answer. Sinai koidim, there's no question the bucky comes first. Why? Because at the end of the day, everybody needs to come onto the Sinai. Afal pikein, like keep it all of Rav Yosef. Gemara says, even though Rav Yosef was the one who was told that he should become the Rosh Shiva, he was the Sinai, to Rabbah's Oikaharim, but he refused to take it. The Amile Kaldoi, and the Gemara gives an interesting reason why. Because he had discussed this potential position with astrologers, and they told him, Malchus Tartan Shnit, that you're going to be Rosh Yeshiva, but you're going to be Rosh Yeshiva for only 2 years. And he was afraid of the astrologers. So we had all the Pesach Haloimus earlier in the parak. Here we have astrologers, just Inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa'inyan. But the same difference in that they told him that you're going to be Rosh Yeshiva for 2 years. He decided, you know what, Rabbi, you'll be Rosh Yeshiva first, and then I'll have my 2 years afterwards. Says the Gemara, Molach Rabbah Esrin V'Tartan Shin. Rabbi became Rosh Yeshiva, and he was Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years. After Rabbi was Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years, Molach Rav Yosef, and how long was Rav Yosef Rosh Yeshiva? Tartan Shin. Upalga. He actually got an extra half a year. He ended up getting 2.5 years. Says the Gemara, Kol Hanech Shnida Malach Rabba, all those years that Rabba was Rosh Hashiva, Afilu Umanu Lebeis Eloikara. Rabbi Yosef was so afraid to get any COVID. He wanted to get a shlishi, not a shishi. He didn't even do a house call. He didn't want anyone to come to his house because he was afraid that maybe that would be considered the srara. And he knew once he starts getting COVID, it's only 2 years. So he was afraid of it. So for those 22 years that Rabbi was Roshiva, he didn't take anything. So what's the point? Why are we talking about this? Because you see from here the point of the Gemara that Rabbi Yosef was nitcha mepnei hashah. He felt, you know what, maybe now I'm not going to chap my gedula, I'll let it wait. And he ended up getting an extra 22 years of life. Says the Gemara, we mentioned one memra that Rab Abin Halevi said. So the Gemara is going to mention many things Rab Abin Halevi said. Rab Abin Halevi, so David HaMelech Davins, he says, Yancha Hashem b'yoyim tzara, yisagev choshem elikei Yaakov. Says the Gemara, elikei Yaakov, v'loy elikei Avram v'yitzchak. Why elikei Yaakov? Why not Avram and Yitzchak? Mikan, you see from here, l'bal koirish, yikones, v'ov yishol koirish. The reason David HaMelech said, David, that Elikei Yaakov should answer, because Yaakov Avinu has a little more of a vested interest in Klal Yisrael, believe it or not, Kavi Yochel, than Avram and Yitzchak do. Because Yaakov Avinu gave, he fathered the Shvatim. He had the Tzar Gidul Banim of raising the 12 sons and Dina and all the Teumim. This was all Yaakov Avinu's responsibility. So David HaMelech felt that Yaakov would daven more for Klal Yisrael than with Avram and Yitzchak. Avram, yeah, he had a son, Yitzchak had Yaakov. But Yaakov Avinu had a whole mishpacha, so he said, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzori yisagefcha and said Rav Avin Halevi that this is a good Musar Haskel. How so? That if you're carrying a beam with other people, if it's your beam, you should position yourself under the thick part of the beam. Meaning because you care more whether it falls than the other people do. And as a result, you should be aware of that, and you should make sure that you take the brunt of it. A third thing Rabbi Abin Halevi said, somebody participates in a suda where there's a Talmud Chacham, it's as if he was Nenem from the Ziv HaShechina. So the context is the beginning of Parshas Yisroel. Yisroel arrives, and Moshe and Aharon, and they all came to eat. What was the Lefnei Elikim? They weren't in the Mishkan. Where were they? They were sitting at Moshe Rabbeinu's house. Why is the Lefnei Elikim? You see from here that if somebody is Nenna from a Suda, that a Talmud Chacham partakes in, it's Ki'ilu Nehenna Miziv Ashkinov. Rabbi Amin Alevi said, if somebody says goodbye to his friend, so he should be very careful with the subtle language that he uses. He shouldn't say Lech Bishalim. Rather, he should say Elo Lech Lishalim. Why? Share Yisroel Shamalay LeMoshe Lech Lishalim. Yisroel told Moshe Lech Lishalim. All of it's Liach. Moshe Rabbeinu was Matzlich. This is before Moshe was the leader of Klal Yisrael. So he got a bracha from his shver Lech Lishalim, and look at what happened. He became so great. David Shamalay Lav Shalim Lech Bishalim Halach V'Nitla. He was hung. Meaning, Lech Lishalim sounds like you're going to continue to go on and on. Again, it's a subtlety in grammar. Lech Bishalim means you've arrived at your final destination. So, you're saying goodbye to somebody, don't tell them Lech Bishalim. No, you should go Michael Ochoil, as the Gemara is about to say. As opposed to, if you say Lech Bishalim, it means it's over. If someone's nifta from a mace, this is the flip side of the same coin. El Lech Bishalim, Shenem of Atta Tavoy, El Abizecha Bishalim. Omer Av Levi Barchia. Yoitzim Beis HaKnesses, V'nichlas Beis HaMedrash, V'yisik B'toyer. Somebody leaves the Beis HaKnesses, and he enters the Beis HaMedrash to go learn. Zoichu Mekabim Pnei Shechino. He's going to matter one day to see the Shechino. Shenem of the Pasuk says, Yelchu Michayel El Choyel, Yeroa El Elikim Betzion. So if somebody goes Michayel El Choyel, he goes from the Beis HaKnesses to the Beis HaMedrash, one day he's going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer Rav Chiya Barashi, Omer Rav. Tamid Chachomim, Ein Lai Menucha Loi, Ve'ilu Mazav Loi Mabot. Tamid Chachomim have no Menucha, not in this world, not in the next world. Shenema Yelchu Michayel Ochoyel. They're always steiging. Yeroa El Elikim Bitzion. Omer Rabbi Lazar, Omer Rabbi Chanina. Tamid Chachomim Marvim Shalom Ve'ilu Shenemar. V'chol Banayich Lemudi Hashem V'Rav Shloim Banayich. Al Tikri Banayich Elo Boinayich. Talmid Chachamim Amar Bim Shalom. And sometimes it seems like a chiddush. Talmid Chachamim, they have Milchemta Shal Torah, and sometimes it gets exciting. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that they're marbim sholim ba'olam. Their machloikis is a machloikis l'shem shemayim. They're really being priests into the world. How do you know that? V'chol banayach l'mudi Hashem, v'rav sholim banayach, al tikri banayach, your sons, alo banayach, these are the bainim, these are the tamid chachamim, v'rav sholim banayach. And then the Gemara just concludes with psukim that talk about shalom, random. Shalom rav lo ayav yisayir asecho, ve'en lo mi michshol, yi shalom b'cheylech, shalvi b'amino yisayich, l'man achav yireye, adabar no shalom b'ach, l'man b'yis Hashem alekeinu avakshu toiv lach, Hashem oiz lama yitein, Hashem yivarech yisamim b'asholem, but of course, the daf's not over, and the mesecht is not over until we speak out one raid bite. So just to end with one ha'ara that's sort of related to the little bit of Gemara that we just learned, but really it puts together some of the ideas that we've learned, and it's, I think, a good way to be Messiah Mesechtes Brachas. That is, the Gemara in Mesechtes Brachas, Daf Mem Beis Amar Aleph, says as follows, Shalosh Tkifos Hem, Amar Abchia Barashi Amar Rav. There are three things where the Halacha dictates it has to happen immediately. There's an idea of tekef and miyad in the halacha. Tekef l'smicha shchita. The first one is kachim. Right after the bala carbon did smicha on the carbon, the halacha was you had to do the shchita. It had to be immediate. Tekef l'geula tefila. An idea that came up several times in Masechtas Brachas. That you have to be soymech gula l'tefila. So right after you mention Gal Yisrael, you immediately shtelzach shmein esrei. And tekef l'tefila sidayim bracha. And right after you wash my machroinim, you're supposed to bench. Says the Gemara Amar Abaya, afanu noyve. We can add another one. Tekef l'tamidei chachamim bracha. Right after a person, says Rashi, hosts, and is mekarev etamud chacham, he's going to get bracha. Tekef. How do you know that? Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, "Vayivarcheni Hashem biglolich." The context over there is Yaakov Avinu and Lavan. And Lavan told Yaakov that you got bracha. I got bracha. My business started booming as soon as you arrived. Why did Lavan's business start booming when when Yaakov arrived, it's because Yaakov was a Talmud Chacham. And take the Talmud Chacham in Bracha. Iba Yosef Mehacha Shenema Vayvarech Hashem is based on Mitzri Beklal Yosef. That the Eibishter benched the house of the Mitzri, the house of Paitifa, because of Yosef. Yosef, on Daf Samach Gimel, the Gemara says, became the apotropos. He was the butler in Paitifa's house. And as soon as he was hired, business again. Everything was knacking. Why was it knacking? Because there's an idea of Takeif L'Talmud Chacham Bracha. Rabbeinu Bechaya on that Pasuk. The Pasuk that says, Vayivarech Hashem is based on Mitzri Beglal Yosef. Says, now what's the reason? What's the pshat? See, he says, K'moshe Motzinu Eitzel Oved Edom Agiti. You find that by Oved Edom Agiti, that he had the Aron in his house, and what happened? It was Takeif Bracha. Right away he got Bracha. His wife had 6 children. All 8 of his daughters-in-law had 6 children. There was an unbelievable of Shefa that came into his house, and it happened immediate. It was only in his house for 3 months. So it happened very, very quickly. So you see this idea by the Aron. So says Rabbeinu Bechaya, if it's true by the Aron, it's true by a Talmud Chacham as well. Because the Aron is the Teresh of Iksav, what the Talmud Chacham is to the Teresh of Apeh. So just like by hosting the Teresh of Iksav, you see, Oved Edom Agitim was merited such bracha, so too, the same concept, the same idea, if somebody hosts a Talmud Chacham, the Teresh Baal Peh in his house, he's going to merit bracha. Now what's the pshat in Takeif the Talmid Chacham in bracha? It's a pashit, it's like a schar, it's a schos. You take care of a Talmud Chacham, it's a beautiful thing, it's a big mitzvah. Nasas Archam is always a mitzvah. V'asu Shulcham Atzei Shitim, right, Atzei Shitim. It's always a big deal to be Machnes Oirach. But the truth is, I think there's a deeper meaning in this. And just to bring it out with a very short tshuva from the Avnei Nezer. So there's a tshuva from the Avnei Nezer. It's in Choshen Mishpat. It's Simen Mem Aleph. And it was written to the Dayan and the Meirat Tzedek of Radishitz. So there was a big tzaddik, a big rebbe that passed away in Radishitz. I'm not exactly sure who it was, so I don't want to guess. But regardless, it seems that there was some controversy. Because after the rebbe passed away, they erected a big oil. And people got together and decided, you know, so many people are coming and visiting, so why should it just be able to come for free? Lama machim parnusa, merubim tzarchei amcha. Let's go ahead and let's see if we can earn a living from this. And they set up shop, a little toll, and if you want to come to the rebbe, if you want to give a kvittel, it's okay. It's encouraged, but you're going to have to pay. Either way, they started making money, and business was going well. There was an einikel from the Rebbe that heard about this. This einikel was an ani ve'evyin, and he had no money. And he said, Mehechateisi, they're going to go ahead and they're going to make business off my zed. It was my grandfather. They had nothing to do with him. I sat on his lap when I was a little boy. How do they have a right to go ahead and make money off my zed? So he put up a fight, and there was fighting going on, and nobody was sure what to do. And they ended up sending the shayla, the rov did, to the Avnei Nezer, and he said, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, like, how do we reconcile this? What are we supposed to do with this? So the truth, this is a fascinating truth. It's a short truth. It's 4 paragraphs, but it's very interesting. The majority of the tshuva, the Avnei Nezer discusses from a chayshem mishpat standpoint. Does this grandson have a schus in his zeda because he was his grandfather? And let's say he was the one that yarshin his grandfather. Meaning, let's say his grandfather would have left over Yerusha, he would have been the one in line to yarshin it. Okay, but that just means that had his grandfather acquired possessions during his lifetime, now that he passed away, he can give it over to his grandson. But what is this? This is a business that was nischadish after he already passed. This has nothing to do with kiloy b'moisa yikach hakoil, and as a result, you have a parish of nachlois. This is something that, faker, you're making money off the zeder. So that's the first thing you discuss. Another thing that Avnei Nezer talked about, are you even allowed to make money off a mace? A mace is also bahana. No, it's not so simple that you could even do this. Either way, after Avnei Nezer goes through and sorts out the legal and technical side of it, whether halachically this is something you can do or this is something you can't do, he says that I think like this, that even though the einikel probably has no schus, but at the same time, it would benefit the people coming to daven by the Radishitzer Rebbe's kever to help out the einikel. Because the Gemara says in the Sech, this brachas daf mem beis amir aleph. This is tucked away in the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer. Takeif l'talmidei chacham in bracha. What's the yisoid? Says the Avnei Nezer, the yisoid is that when you give something to a Talmud Chacham, he has a chayiv. He has a debt that he has to pay off. And the Talmud Chacham he's chazoka, that he's going to be perei achayivai. And as a result, you now have a lien, so to speak. You have a tfiyah, you have a schus. You can go over to him and say, listen, I helped you out. Now you owe me one. Now I want something in return. So that's the yisoid of taking the Talmud Chacham bracha. You bring a Talmud Chacham into your house, you give him covid, you take care of him. Okay, now there's a quid pro quo on some level. And that's what underpins the idea of taking for Talmud Chacham Bracha. So it said to Avnei Nezer that if you're going to go now to the Rajash of the Rebbe, you're going to give a kvittel, you're davening for a Yeshua, if you give money to these two chevra, whatever, they're right, they're wrong. He says, I don't know. I have no idea. It's a complicated shaila. Pash this, they don't have a right to set up such a business, but then again, you have no right to push them out either. So Avnei Nezer says, I don't know from a halachic standpoint. But one thing I could tell you, that you want to know if the Rebbe's Nisham is makut type that you help these two people? I don't know. Mehecha teisi. But if the Rebbe has an enakel that's an oni ve'evian that he's struggling, and you go and you help out this enakel, he says, I'm aftich that any tefillah that you daven by the Rebbe is going to have a bigger koyach, because now he's going to be makir toiv, and it's going to be a geder of tekel v'tam, what a tekel v'tam v'chacham bracha. You didn't have the Rebbe in your house, you went to the Rebbe's kever, you went to him. He didn't come to you, because that's the yisoid of tekel v'tam v'chacham bracha. The yisoid is that you give to the tam v'chacham, and as a result, you're going to end up getting back. So he said, I think at the very least, you should put up a sign in the oil. This was very practical advice, and say that there's an enakel that's a nitzrach, and he says you can write that anybody that helps this enakel will be a schooler for him to have a Yeshua, and that's the way the Avnei Nezer signed off its tshuva. Now what comes to mind? What comes to mind is Ray that we spoke about on Daf Lamed Aleph, you have a few dafin that, the whole Masechta needs an asterisk, but you have Chavches with Yavna, and then you have Lamed Aleph, that's with Shmuel and Eli, and Allah Narazez, Balalti, but the Gemara tells the story how Chana didn't have any children. Penina had a family, and Chana was struggling. She had no children, and every year she would go up and daven b'yoyleregel by the Makom HaMikdash, and she would cry and she would cry. Chazal say 19 years. The Gemara doesn't say, but Chazal say it was 19 years that she davened to have a child. And one year she goes up and she davens, and her lips are moving, but she's not making any noise. And Eli sees what's going on, and Eli thought that she was a shikker. Why? If her lips are moving, why isn't she making noise? So v'tachashvel shikayra. So he went ahead and he accused her. He says, I understand. This is how you walk in mitazah. Proskite into the Mokav HaMikdash. So Chana says, no, you don't understand. I'm not a shikker. He says, what I am, I'm a tzabrachan, a woman. That's what I am. And I'm not sure what you see, but this is what it is. It's a tzabrach and a woman. And Eli felt terrible about what happened. And Eli went ahead and gave her a bracha. And Chazal say that you see from here that achoshet b'ksheirim, tzarech levarchoi, that achoshet b'ksheirim, you have to give a bracha. We spoke out for Reb Chaim Kanievsky in his time of the Kra, that he asks, I don't understand, because the pasuk says that after Chana got the bracha, she went out, she knew that everything was going to play out. So he's like, fashtenish. Chana had such betochen in the bracha of Eli. Eli gave her a bracha. She was so excited. She had such betochen. She knew it was going to happen. 19 years, Eli sitting there. How come she never asked Eli for a bracha? I don't understand. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, Weiss tois, Chana knew Eli could give a bracha. But okay, so I got a bracha. She thought that her tzara that she was dealing with was beyond a bracha even from Eli. This is what happened. He says, you know what happened? Eli was choyshe b'ksherim. Choyshe b'ksherim tzarech levarchai. Now Eli owed her a bracha. You owe me a bracha? Now it's a whole different deal. You owe it to me? Now it's real. Now you have to deliver. And as soon as Eli gave her the bracha, then she walked out. She had betochen. She knew this was going to happen. And we mentioned at the time that this is coming from Chaim Kanievsky, the Gadol Hadar, that everybody flies to for brachas. So we have some inside information. This is mamish in the time of the Kra from Chaim Kanievsky. And he writes over there. He said, this is the Eitzah. You want a bracha from a Rebbe, from a Tzaddik, and you want it to be Neskayim, this is the way. The way is you put the Rebbe and a Tzaddik in a compromised position. And he said, you basically tell him, you owe me a bracha. I gave money to Yehenikol. What are you going to do? This is something you have to do. And the Sefer Mishulchan, Rebbe Yabarich, we spoke out a little bit of this, say he brings a few stories about this. And by the way, he says it exactly the way I said it, that this is a tremendous Eitzah for any person, the Inyan Zehu, Yisoid Gadol V'Nifla, Be'inyan Shal Bracha Shal Tzadik. And he says, this is something you should do. Try to find a situation where you can get the tzaddik in a position where he has to give you a bracha. And then he brings a few stories, and I'll just mention one, and we'll end the Masechta with this. He says a story that he heard from the brother of Rav Moshe Halberstam. He said that his great-grandfather lived in Prague. And there was an Eini Yehudi, a Shegetz, that he used to see. He was a very, very old man. He would always pass him on his way to work. And he would say, how are you? Good morning. How you doing? Good night. How's everything? And they would always, it was one day he sat down with him, and he started having a conversation with him. And he asked him, how old are you? So he told him he's 116 years old. He said, 116? He says, wow. And he said, not just that. He says, I have all my teeth. This is the way he brings the story. He says, I have all my teeth. I'm 116. I've never seen a dentist. He was like, wow. And he said, not just that. I'm going to be this way for another 4 years. He says, listen, I believe you, you're 116, and I see your teeth. But how do you know you're going to be here for another 4 years? He says, I'm going to tell you a maisa shahaya kachaya. He says, when I was a little boy, I worked in a barbershop in Prague. And the Noida Yehuda, Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, used to frequent this barbershop. It's interesting, there's a lot of tshuvas from the Noida Yehuda about shaving and taking haircuts. But Noida Yehuda used to frequent his barbershop. And the Noida Yehuda had a hakpeda that he never wanted to take his yarmulke off. And even when he would take a haircut, so he would have his yarmulke on, and he even writes there that he had more hair in the center of his head than he had on the rest of his head, because he never wanted to take his yarmulke off, and he was very, very makbid. I remember I used to work there. One time, this is the middle of the Rabbi Cheska Landa, he says, this rabbi is the middle of taking a haircut, and his yarmulke fell off, and he fell asleep. It's chapta drimel, and when he chapta drimel, his head fell down, and the yarmulke fell off, and he felt his yarmulke fall off, and he gave a scream, he gave a yell. The yarmulke. And he said, I was a little boy. I dove across the room. I grabbed the yarmulke and I quickly put it on Rabbi Cheska, on the rabbi of Prague's head. And he said, the rabbi looked at me and he said, my son, I appreciate what you just did. He said, I give you a blessing. You're going to live till you're 120 years. And not just that, there won't be one day in your life where you're not going to feel perfectly. He said, this is a blessing that I got from the rabbi of Prague. He said, all my peers, everyone I ever knew died 30 years ago. He says, I'm telling you, he says, this is a blessing that I have from a rabbi. He told me 120. I'm only 116. I know I have another 4 years. Either way, I just thought that was a good way to end Masechtas Brachos. Number one, with a Noida B'Yehuda, but of course with a bracha. Either way, it's, you know, it's brought down that a siyum is a tremendous eis ratzon, and I think a siyum like Masechtas Brachos, where so much of Klal Yisrael participated in, where it's just absolutely unbelievable. I would imagine that these siyumim are, again, this is above my pay grade, but I mean, these siyumim are absolutely tremendous. So it's a time for brachas and yeshuas, and everybody should be gebenched, and everyone should have any bracha that they need during this eis rotzoin, this sima mesachtes brachas. Hadron alach mesachtes brachas v'hadron chalon. Daiton alach mesachtes brachas v'daiton chalon. Loi nis neshem binach mesachtes brachas v'loi sis neshem binon v'loi ba'om adem v'loi ba'om adase. Hadron alach mesachtes brachas v'hadron chalon. Daiton alach mesachtes brachas v'daiton chalon. Loi nis neshem binach mesachtes brachas v'loi sis neshem binon v'loi ba'om adem v'loi ba'om adase. Hadron alach mesachtes brachas v'hadron chalon. Daiton alach mesachtes brachas v'daiton chalon. Loi nis neshem binach mesachtes brachas v'loi sis neshem binon v'loi ba'om adem v'loi
We need a dentist.
Yeah.